Welcome to One Moment Wiser. I'm your host, Christy Bridges, and my guests share personal stories and wisdom to help you understand yourself better, improve your relationships, and connect with your creator. Let's get started. When you were pastor of these churches, you had this one that was like, you know, two people and then four people and then 100 people, right? And then you had these others that, you know, had dwindled so much. And then by the time you left them, they were thriving again.
Yes.
There's, I feel, maybe a secret sauce, right? What? Clearly, God does the work, right? We right. trust God to do his part. But what was your part in this?
My part in this, in all of those, was Abraham.
Yeah.
The secret sauce was in Abraham. So everywhere Abraham went, he dug a well. He didn't just walk in there and say, oh, there's a Walmart here, I've got everything I need. He went in and he had to dig a well. Mm-hmm. And his sons had to sometimes reopen those wells, where his sons learned how to dig their own wells. That's a big thing. So it's kind of metaphorical in a sense, or you know, imagery in yeah. that sense. So when I was being used to start that first church, I had to dig a well. But you dig until you find that water, and then you don't have to make water anymore. You can enjoy the water with everybody else. So the secret sauce is, first you have to dig a well. Well, okay, that sounds good, but what does that mean? My oldest daughter, I love her, she would do this to me all the time. I'd say, man, I've got this cool spiritual thing. Look at this. And she goes, wow, that's great, Dad. How does that work tomorrow morning? And I was like, oh, man, because God isn't just into metaphors and flowery
right?
imagery. He's into practical, real life things. So how do you dig a well? Mostly on your knees. A lot of prayer, a lot of worship. So I'd go into this church, you know, there's 10 or 12 people, and that's on a Sunday, but during the rest of the week, there's nobody.
Yeah.
So I would just go in the sanctuary and just worship. You know, like they talk about worship where nobody's listening. When you think nobody's listening, like nobody's looking, I would just worship. I would go over every seat in the congregation and pray. And I would pray for every person that I remembered their face. I would just dig. I would just dig. Until things started happening. But when things started happening, I had to keep digging.
Yeah.
You know, just because we went from 10 people to 25 people, I didn't dig deep enough. There's still more. There was in this church that was in this small town of 700.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 10 people when I got there. And when I left, there was 75, almost 100 people. And in that process, I met with this pastor in Dallas, pastor of a huge church, man, big, big church, thousands of people. And he was, you know, confident about that he'd reached thousands of people. He asked me what I was doing. I told him, you know, a small town of 700, but there's about 75 people. He did the math real quick. He said, you're telling me that you're reaching 10% of your community? I said, well, yeah, I am. He's like, well, my church is this size, but our city is in millions. He goes, I'm not even reaching 0.001%. He goes, you're more influential as a pastor in your town than I am.
I love that you saw that.
But that's how you dig. That's how you dig a well. You take time, you get on your knees, you use your hands, and you dig.
So what I'm hearing is the well isn't necessarily finding the person who has the water in that town, right? What you're doing is you're connecting with God in your, you know, on your own, to the point where you are bringing these other people to the throne and continuing to talk to God about these people and being available. I know that you personally, just, you know, from knowing you as short a time as I have, you reach out to people, you show up for people. And so
there's a real good question right there in the sense of it was stunning to me when I first saw it, but then it became very, very valuable, of like one of those diamonds that you find that everybody walks by and doesn't see. If I were to ask you what you had for lunch yesterday, sometimes it's like, I don't know. I don't remember. You know, I'm busy, right? But if I ask you this question of Christy, has anybody told you today that they love you?
Aww.
See?
Yeah.
There's no hesitation. There's no question. It's like, well, let me think. Has anybody? You instantly know. I discovered that there were several men and bachelors that were in our church. And as a bachelor, you're alone. I know the worst experience driving a truck was I went for 10 days with nobody touching, not a handshake, not a pat on the, no human contact. And I about lost it, really, because it was like nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. It was like, wow, to be isolated like that is, it was, anyway. So I started asking people that question, you know, has anybody said, told you today that they love you? And immediately they have an answer of no or yes, this person. And then I'd like, you know, let me join the parade. I want to join the parade today of all those people that love you and care about you. You know, we're glad you're here. Glad you're doing this. You know, I love you. And just start loving people. And it wasn't that I dug the well to let them see that I was the source of water, because I'm not. Jesus said that he is the living water, right?
Right.
I dug the well so that when they got there, they could drink. Because, I mean, he says it, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And there's so many people that are actually just dying of thirst. Yeah. Even though there's churches on every corner.
That's true.
They don't, whatever it is, they don't get that water of life that they need. You know, to no blame of anybody, but just they don't find it. And so that's why I would dig, is because then when they would come there, not everybody, I'm not saying it that way. I'm just saying that people would find that source of water.
And when then, one person believes water exists, right? I can see traces of water because there are greenery. There's greenery around, right?
Right.
You believe water exists, you dig and find it. And then you go, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. Come join me. And then you go
to
another
Samaritan
place
woman.
Where you start that process over again. What a beautiful analogy. I have never honestly thought about the fact that, you know, the wells he dug fed, you know, watered the people and animals with him, but they also watered people for generations after he'd left a place.
That is, I mean, probably
all
one
the way
of the,
down to Jesus talking to the Samaritan lady, and she's like, you know, this was dug by Abraham.
And where did he tell? He told the Samaritan woman, the first person he told, that he was the Messiah.
Yeah.
It was that is a well, Jacob's well. Yeah. She went and told everybody. Yeah, she told everybody that, come meet this guy. You got to see this guy.
So, and
it's that. Then it becomes, like you said, a generational thing. And that's probably the thing that is the most confidence-giving thing for me, is being able to look back and say, not only have I raised three children that are all very successful in their parts of life, But there are three churches that are still growing and feeding and taking care of people that I was a part of.
That feels good. That feels good. You know, the Mark 4, where I was reading this morning, talked about the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed. And it's small, but it grows into this tree that brings shelter and shade to even the birds of the air. You know, everything comes under this tree to find safety, right? Yeah. And that is when we talk about the kingdom as a community, the kingdom of God as a community, that is our purpose. We are to, you know, follow righteousness, joy, and peace, right? We are to follow God. But when we do that well, when we continuously align ourselves with that compass, then we grow in such a way that we're providing a shelter. We're providing a nesting place, a place for others to gather and find what we found, right? A mustard seed is definitely proof that there is water. You know, hey, you want to know if there's water?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And,
you know, one of the things we did, though, as a nation and as Americans, and God bless America, I'm all about that, was we decided to get rid of any concepts of kingdoms. We don't want a king.
Right.
We don't want kings. And we don't have commonwealths. You know, now the empire, Britain, the empire of the United Kingdom or whatever, man, they commandeered whole nations and would make them the Commonwealth. They had to learn their language. They had to pay taxes and supply their needs.
Right.
They were also given the benefit of protection and different things, but those people had to come into the Commonwealth of the kingdom of Britain or Rome or whoever, you know, whatever kingdom it was.
They conquered them. So
but as Americans, you know, God bless America, we don't know what a king or a kingdom is. So we hear the preaching and teaching of the kingdom, and you touched on it a second ago. We're citizens of a different kingdom.
Very different kingdom. Very different than the imperial rule we have studied in our history books. The kingdom of God is a family, and it's an invitational family. It's one where people are welcomed in, and you make a choice of being a citizen or not. Guess what? God is still real. God still has the final say, that you choose whether to be part of his kingdom or not. And
so how do we know, Christy? How do we know if we're a citizen? How do we know if we're a citizen of the kingdom of God? Is it because we go to church? Is it because we read our Bible? Is it because we do certain practices and disciplines? Maybe, but I don't think that's the right answer.
I think those are behaviors that are the result of someone who has given their heart to Jesus.
And it's not even so much, I mean, the relationship with Jesus and repentance and salvation and all of are very much in part and important. But how do we know? How can somebody that's just walking down the street know that I'm a man of God, that I'm a citizen of a different kingdom? How can they tell? How can they know that? It's not because I have a shirt that's different or because I shave my head.
Because I have WWJD tattooed on my knuckles.
No, it's not that. He said it. Jesus gave us the answer. He said, and this is how you'll know Not that they're just my disciples and do what I tell them because I'm a hard taskmaster, and I, you know, branded them. This is how you'll know they're citizens of my kingdom. They love one another.
Yes.
They love people.
Yes.
And not the kind of love like, you know, everybody loves Taylor Swift. You know, well, that's cool. She's an easy person or whatever.
She's pretty a child of God.
Yeah. But what about the prisoner? What about the guy that's, you know, a drug addict? What about the broken? What about the wounded? What about the single mom that's just struggling? She doesn't have time to dig a well. She's just trying to put food on the table. How do they know? Because we love them too.
Yeah.
We love them. And he spent a whole chapter on it. Love doesn't seek its own. It doesn't boast. It's not about itself. Love bears all, endures all, hopes all, believes all, gives all, does all, just on and on and on about this is what love does. It's a verb. It has to move. It has to do something.
It doesn't hold on to wrong, but looks to the right.
It's not love if it's not doing something. It has to do something to be love. It can't just be inert. It can't just be capsulized. It can't just be labeled and tagged and put on the shelf. It has to do something. That's why it wasn't enough for God to just say, well, you know, love you guys. Hope you make it through. Here's some good 10 commandments to try to figure that out. You know, see ya. He was like, I got to do something. I got to go there. Yeah. I got to make connection with these people.
That's right.
I mean, even if they kill, I don't care. I got to get to them. And that's love.
That is love.
So,
love seeks to connect. And, oh, man. I love when you were talking about being on the road for that, you know, 10 days in a row with no human contact, just 10 days with no, you know, besides the transactional contact of stopping at the gas station or whatever, that there's our deepest need is love. We can have all the food. We can have all the water. You know, all the basic needs met and basically kill ourselves with them if we don't have love. There's God.
And how many songs have you heard about image? That?
Well, God made us in his image, and I think that is probably very key.
Check that out. So here's this creator, makes everything, does all this stuff. He's like, okay, guys, here we're going to make this guy look like us and feel like us, image and likeness, right? And he does this thing. He comes up and he goes, and the first thing Adam sees is like, wow, there's, wow, look at that face to face. We're going.
Wow.
So he's made the elephants and the zebras. He's made the moon, the stars. He's made the oceans. He's made the redwood forests. I mean, he's done all this incredible stuff. And every time he said, that's good, that's good, that's good. And he looks at man, he goes, yeah, that's good. Well, wait a minute. He goes, it's not good. It's not good that man should be alone.
That's right.
No, wait a minute. You're the guy that just made him. You're the guy that made him not just look like you, but feel like you. And you said it's not good for him to be alone.
Right.
What does that say about God?
Yeah.
God doesn't want to be alone.
No.
He doesn't want to be alone. Angels are cool. Gotta admit that. I mean, they're cool. I don't know that I've seen any necessarily, but from what, you know, I think they are, they're cool. You know, giraffes are cool things. Who would have, and he made a platypus just to screw with everybody.
Right.
Come on. This is gonna a bill of a duck, you know, webbed feet, fur. It can breathe in water and out of water. It lays eggs. It's like, seriously, man, you're just messing with us. But none of that was what he wanted. He was like, this is all cool, but I need somebody I can walk with.
Yeah.
Somebody I can talk to. And so that's what they're doing in Genesis. How does it all end, Christy, in Revelation 22? It ends us going to the New Jerusalem.
Walking. There's not even any need for sunlight because God lives among us.
We're going to walk and talk with him. That's what he wants.
I'm so excited.
That's what the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, you shall be our God and we will be your people. And that's all he ever wanted.
Yeah.
He just wants to be with us.
And that's, you know, sometimes people, I think, maybe take that too lightly.
There you go. It was you, not me. How about that?
You know what happened. But love is being loved, right?
Yes.
Is not just about, here I am, shower affection on me, right?
Right.
Oh, if you don't do that, I'm going to be sad, right? Love is, like we talked about before, showing up.
The
being
verb.
There to listen, to connect, to offer water when someone is overwhelmed and can't dig their own well, to, you know, there's a give and take, there's partnership. Hey, you plant these seeds, I'm going to get out there and make them grow, and then, you know, we can harvest those things together. There's so much more that God wants in a love relationship than just a Valentine's Day gift, right?
And more than just a one-time thing of, I went to the altar and I met Jesus and now I'm in church and I'm just here all the time.
Right.
There's more. He wants more.
And you know what I have found in a love relationship, you know, of marriage, right? Is
that
there are times that we end the day going, man, we had a really good night together. This was wonderful. I feel so close to you. And there are other times when I'm like doing dishes and I come out and I go, you know, I'm going to go to bed. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll talk to you in. Good night. You know, I mean, there's like sometimes where it's just you're doing the normal stuff and sometimes where it feels special. And I think sometimes as in the church, especially, but just in general, in the kingdom of God, right? We tend to get stuck in just the mundanities, and forget that this is a really beautiful, powerful relationship. And if we can dig into that well, if we can reach for it a little, then we can end up having so much love that everybody wants to come and shelter in this tree that we end up on, you know, all the way to where people go, well, that, okay, I didn't know it was called the kingdom, but I totally want to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right on target. You don't have to tell them all this other kind of thing. In fact, scripture says it that way. It says it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. What is that goodness talking about? It's when somebody that's a citizen of heaven shows up and starts to love them, and they see it, they feel it, they understand it, and God is at the same time blessing them. So, you know, I've actually heard people say, you know, well, you should pray for this person that's hard and terrible and difficult and all these kind of things, and then they'll see that and turn to God. And I'm like, that's crazy. That's nonsense. That's not Bible. Bible says it's the goodness of God. They want to see the good things.
Yeah. And it's smart to pray for people to get on our nerves, right? Just to help us adjust our attitudes.
What a great way to start a relationship, right? I mean, God has already swiped right on every one of us. All we have to do is stop going, no, I don't want that. I don't want that church. I don't want that part of the Bible. I don't want this guy. I remember this person said he was a Christian and he hurt me. You know, instead it's swiping right for him every time.
Yeah.
So the kingdom, now to finally come back to the question of how would you define the kingdom of God?
Uh-huh.
The kingdom of God is also and foremost, I think, a mindset. Yeah. It's a position. It's a position of being a citizen of heaven. It's a position of knowing that we're in the commonwealth of God. It's a mindset of, if I'm a kingdom man, what would a kingdom man do? How does a kingdom man think? How does a kingdom man approach the situation? How does a kingdom person do? As a kingdom person, how do I react to that? As a kingdom person, what am I seeing that I should see that's there, even though it's not there? Yeah. And it's that kingdom, it's recognizing the King. No. What is the kingdom of God? It's recognizing the King.
Yes. But you know what just struck me as you were talking about that? There's a lot of personal responsibility, right? What does a kingdom man look like? Who does a kingdom man focus on? God, right? Jesus never, in all of these discussions, he talked about the kingdom, and it was never just the individual. We do have a responsibility. We have that personal responsibility, and our source is God. But the kingdom, just like we saw it develop in among the disciples and in Acts, and you know, even today in our own lives, we have to get out and connect, just like God did, right? Jesus came from heaven to connect with us, to show us how to connect with one another. And that includes forgiveness. And that includes explanations when we think something doesn't need to be explained. That includes doing things like cooking breakfast on the beach for the fishermen who are coming in, you know, actually being a part of an interactive
community
of people who are all focused on being more like Christ and knowing God better.
Yes. And I appreciate you clarifying that. I skipped over that part and quickly spoke of it too, without that understanding of it. That's what I mean when I say kingdom man. It's not, I didn't say just a man, what should I do?
Exactly. You said kingdom man, and that's beautiful.
So in a kingdom, you think of a kingdom. And that's like I said, we don't know what those are in America so much. But if you were from one of the countries that was a part of the British kingdom, you understood that there's a king, that you're part of a community, that commonwealth, that you're a citizen of that kingdom. So it's not enough necessarily just say, well, I'm a Christian, because there's a lot of people that can just call themselves Christians and not Christians. But when you start saying, I'm a citizen of heaven, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, I belong, and then that affects the way you see everybody else, affects the other. Like right now, instead of just looking at you and saying, well, this is a woman, she, you know, an attractive woman that's got this show and these things. Instead of that, it would be like, and not just a sister in the Lord, and just and not just a Christian. And just that. Wait a minute, this is a fellow citizen. We're in the kingdom together.
That's right.
Yeah. Then it then I can start to apply the things that I know, that love and the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the kingdom of God, love and joy and patience and kindness and meekness and gentleness and perseverance, you know, long suffering. All of those things can be done then because we're in the kingdom.
And you can help me develop those traits as I help you, and we grow together, right? We grow together. You very rarely will see, unless someone has directly, you know, the electric companies come and cut off limbs, right? You don't see a full-grown tree on this side and just little baby twigs on this side, right?
That's right.
We grow together as one, as we help each other and nourish each other. This has been such a blessing. Scott, I talked to you for just weeks. So before we go, I just want to say a couple of things. Number one, if you have listened to this and gotten a better understanding of what the kingdom of God is, but you're not part of the kingdom of God. You haven't, you know, it still seems a little weird to you, or maybe your heart is starting to say, it may be weird, but I got to have this. Reach out. But right now, you could just say a prayer with us if you wanted to. Lord, we just come to you and we thank you for teaching us. We thank you for showing yourself so obviously in your creation. And we give our hearts to you. Jesus, dying for our sins may seem a little foreign, but we know we've made mistakes. We know we've done things wrong. And we're grateful that you came to show us the impact of our dark side, and that you came to show us how loved we are and how precious we are to you. And so we give you our heart and we accept that forgiveness from you.
Yes.
And teach us how to be part of your kingdom. In Jesus' name.
That's a good one.
It's important. I hope your life has just changed forever if you're watching or listening to this. So, yes. Scott, the other thing I wanted to say, and this seems a little crazy, but this is the way we end all of our One Moment Wiser interviews, is tell us how people can support you or reach you in what you're doing now.
Okay. I have my own business, which is like not necessarily church related or church world stuff.
We need practical things too.
Yeah. I paint. I help remodel drywall, sheetrock, finish. I do high level interior finish work, wallpaper, those kind of things. My business name is Master's Touch, because I believe the Master's Touch, and that he gives me the ability to have the Master's Touch.
Awesome.
So that's definitely one way of, you know, if you need your interior house
made redesign, that's
redesign, to look like the vision that you wanted. That's what I try to do, is help people accomplish the vision they have for their interior home. And the other side of that is, we've discussed it a couple times and referred to it, that having been a pastor, I'm not currently pastoring, but if there was a place that you felt like that would fit, that this voice, that this heart, that this, what I bring or whatever, that if there was a place for that to fit someplace that they know about, I'd be more than happy to talk to them and see if it'll work, because I'm not trying to do this to build my kingdom. I'm not trying to do this to establish my throne. I want to be about my Father's business.
Yes.
And my Father's business is building the kingdom.
Yes. I think you need Scott in your life, in your church. So talk to the people around you and share this video or this podcast.
Do you have my contact information?
I'm going to put that in the comments. I'm going to make sure that goes in the comments. So Master's Touch is your business. And of course,
and that's Scott, on Google. You can Google that.
So. Yep. And Scott's on Facebook as well. So to reach out. And if you, for some reason, can't find Scott, you found me. So reach out to me and I'll connect you.
That's right. That's right.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. What a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Do we have just a minute that I can offer a prayer?
Absolutely.
Prayer for people? All right. Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name, and we stand before you just awed by who you are. So more than anything we ever even knew. It's just amazing who you are. I think of the first thing about who you are is that you are faithful and true. That's incredible. Lord, then we ask for the first thing that we were supposed to ask for, and that is that your kingdom come. Lord, I pray that that your kingdom would come here on earth. That if there's someone now hearing this, and people that hear this in the future to come, Lord, that they would look to you, that they would search for your kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom, that they would want and desire that, Lord, so that you could personally reach into their lives, reach into their hearts. Lord, I just speak peace to people. I speak life, Lord, to those people that are right now in this moment facing things that are bigger, mountains, enemies, hard times, difficulties. I just speak peace to them so that they can make a clear decision. I speak life to them. They can breathe. Lord, I just bless these people. Thank you, Lord, for Christy and what she's given today, the opportunity to do this. I pray a blessing upon her, Lord, that you would cause her ministry, the things that you've given her to be added to be multiplied, to be dispersed amongst the people. Lord, bless her. Bless this program. Bless this time, Lord, the way you know how. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you so much, Scott. I'll take that blessing.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. We'll see you all next time.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and join me for 2-minute daily devotionals Monday through Friday at onemomentwiser.com. That's the digit 1momentwiser.com or on social media at onemomentwiser. If you have a story you'd like to share, I would love to hear it. Just use the contact page at onemomentwiser.com. God bless you.